Pop the Glampain. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show live guest, current event scathing expose. The original suburban bombshell, the big blonde baby, giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
Wow, thank you so much, everybody. Oh my gosh. It is almost 2017. Happy New Year's. We at the Julie Tussey Show are so excited about 2017, and we have some awesome and wonderful things coming up for you. Some great interviews, some fun, sassy, frassy things that we'll be doing. It's going to be great. Today, I have a special guest, and her name is Heather Robertson, and she is the woman that has started HalfSizeMe.com. She is amazing. She has lost 170 pounds. She has kept it off for 5 years. And she has an entire community, a few books, and a whole lot of great information to help us be healthy and help us to be everything that we want to be. So we're going to be talking about the New Year's resolution solution, talking about how to make our resolutions an actual thing that happens in our life, and that we're not coming back every single year and making the same resolution and not doing it. So I want to take you into that interview now and tell you Happy New Year and enjoy. I am so excited to have you here today, Heather. I have been telling people in the podcast that you're coming. Thank God you said yes. No, not really. I always tease everybody and I'm like, I want a name drop, but I'm trying to be integral.
That's
but,
funny.
Yeah. So I, and by the way, everybody, this is Heather Robertson from HalfSizeMe.com, which I've told you about her for a couple of months, and I stumbled onto your HalfSizeMe.com website, and that's how I found you. So welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I'm glad it worked out for us both. This is awesome.
I know. It's kind of crazy when you have two really busy women who are so successful in business and online, right, to get together.
Yeah. We definitely are hopping, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about a few things today. You know, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I could just have her come on every month. It's amazing the insight that you have, but you have quite a story. And so today, I wanted to take a little bit of time for the listeners and talk about the New Year's resolution solution. And I named the program, that because it seems like that a lot of times every year, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of this. I make this resolution that I'm going to be this whole new svelte person, and then it falls by the wayside. So as I was thinking about this resolution solution, I thought about your story. So I wondered if you would take some time today and kind of tell us your story, and then we'll get into how we can fix this resolution problem.
Absolutely. Actually, you know what's interesting? The moment I knew my journey was completely different this time versus all the other times I tried to lose weight was the January that I rolled up on in the midst of my journey. I think I was down like 50 pounds at that time. But I remember thinking to myself, for the very first time in my adult life, I wasn't going to be setting those resolutions and then rolling up on the following December feeling like I never made any progress.
Right.
That's what I typically always felt. So it's actually really interesting because I remember that being one of those aha moments where I thought, this is really different because I'm not going into this new year setting a bunch of resolutions deep down inside questioning whether or not I'm actually going to achieve them. So my journey actually started as a young child. The only times I would say in my life that I was what would be considered a normal weight was probably up until about third grade. And then from third grade on, I just was putting on quite a bit of weight. I remember getting a physical to come move down to Florida with my family, and I was 160 pounds and in the fifth grade, you know. So I was gaining weight at a pretty good clip. Once I moved and got to middle school, I know I was tipping the scales at 200. pretty much all through high school, between 200, 225. And deep down inside, as a girl, you know, experiencing all that, all I really wanted to be was normal. I wanted to be able to go buy clothes like my friends did. I wanted to be able to sit in a seat, you know, with the desk attached and be able to not get stuck in my gut. You know, like I just wanted to feel normal. And so, of course, what does most teenage girls do? Unfortunately, they do very drastic things to get that, you know, experience. And that's what I did. I did a very drastic thing, which I would never recommend anybody do. And I lost 80 pounds in 6 months. And so that was my first experience, you know, where I felt somewhat of success with weight. And I was at what was a considerably normal weight for myself. But there was a problem. So I did drastic things to lose the weight. And the whole time, my grandmother, who had lost weight herself and was maintaining, would say to me, you know, Heather, how are you going to maintain this? Like, the way you're doing this isn't maintainable. And I was a 16 going on 17 year old kid. I didn't want to listen to that, right? Like,
no.
I wanted the results, and I wanted them 2 years ago. She couldn't say anything when I was in that mindset to convince me. So I just kept barreling ahead, and I kept hearing her words, but I never really got what she was saying until I went to college. When I went to college, it was a painful task to maintain that weight loss because I was doing it with over-exercising. I was still binge eating and trying to deal with all of that while going to college full-time and working full-time. And what I started to do was pile the weight back on. And I easily, through my 20s, all the way, you know, up until my early 30s, I was tipping the scale usually between 250 and 290. That was usually where I hung out. And it wasn't until I had my first, or I went to go back to my first OBGYN appointment in 2006, where the doctor said, you know, you're pregnant. And this was great because I was married and, you know, I really wanted children. That was what I really always wanted. But he goes, what's the heaviest you've ever been? And I said, well, the heaviest I've ever been is 290. He goes, well, that's the weight you're starting at with this pregnancy. And that was really crushing to me because the thing that I had always wanted, to be pregnant, to have a child, to be a good mom, was now, I felt like my weight was impacting that experience. And my weight had impacted everything. I mean, I didn't play sports. I couldn't do all the things my friends did. Dating, I wasn't really into dating because guys didn't want to date me because I was, you know, heavier, and I really didn't put myself out there. Like, all these things that my weight held me back from, now it was impacting my pregnancy. And I just went home and sobbed, you know, I was just crying and just really upset. And I made a decision then, not that I took action on it, but I made a decision then that I was going to change things because I knew this kid, I was going to be the role model for this child. And they were going to look to me for an example of how to be. And I could not tell him in good conscience, don't eat that extra slice of pizza. Here, have some fruits and veggies. Knowing that I was downing a half of a New York style pizza easily in one sitting, and then eating a half a gallon of ice cream afterwards. Like, my actions did not go in line with what I would tell him to do, and that would have made me feel so hypocritical. So I couldn't do those things. So I knew at that moment things had to change. So once I had him, I did start to lose weight. I think I dropped like somewhere around 20, 30 pounds, but I got pregnant almost right within 5 months of having him. I was pregnant again. And so then I was a little bit lighter than the first go-round, but I still wasn't where I wanted to be. And so I had my second son. And then I started working on it again. And then I got pregnant a third time. And so after the third time, we were like, okay, that's enough, right? We're not doing it anymore. And I really got super serious about my fitness. I got super serious about making habit change. And I decided to approach my weight loss completely different than I had ever approached it before, because what I knew was all through my 20s, I had yo-yo dieted. I had done the New Year's resolution thing, you know, hence the discussion we're having today, where I said, you know what, I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year. Well, that's a great, worthwhile, ambitious goal to set for yourself, but how the heck are you going to do it?
Exactly.
And how are you then going to keep it off? Because what I learned, keep in mind, is I learned the painful reality of packing that weight back on. People cheer for you when you lose weight.
Right.
When you gain weight back, it's crickets. You don't hear anything. I call it the loudest silence you'll ever hear. When you're putting 100 plus pounds back on your body after you lost it, nobody says anything to you about it.
No.
And I remember feeling very alone, you know. And so I decided whatever I was going to do to lose this weight, I had to be willing to do for the rest of my life. And that was a fundamental change in my thought that I had never, you know, done before. So, and that is why when I lost the weight this time, I allowed treats. I had a much gentler approach with myself because I knew I had to work on my binge eating and I had to work on my relationship with food and weight loss in order to make this sustainable.
Right. So you have lost 170 pounds.
Correct.
And you have kept it off for 5 years.
Yeah, I've kept it off since 2012. It'll be 5 years this January.
See, that's amazing to me. And I've been following you. I'm part of the community, the Half Size Me community on Facebook and online, and been listening to some things. But this approach of losing weight in a way that you can maintain it, it was completely new to me. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. All the yo-yo stuff, you know, in your 20s, you can starve yourself and you don't kill people. Because you feel
yes.
So ornery and crabby and terrible. But, you know, I did all of that, and I've kind of maintained through my lifetime. But now that I've gotten over 29, things have been a little harder. And so when I heard that, it was like a revelation to me. I was like, what? What? And I am a big Weight Watchers fan, which I know, that you probably, 100 pounds of your weight loss was with Weight Watchers. And
yes.
But I've never gotten to where I want to be. But one thing I liked about Weight Watchers was that I felt like it was something I could live with when I did do it. And mm-hmm. so as a result of all of that, I ordered your book, The Art of Maintenance. Mm-hmm. And I read that, and wow, that blew my mind. So I think you're really onto something here. If we can get people to know this kind of a mindset with losing weight in a way that you can maintain it, because you know, the thing that I've gotten from what I've heard you say too, is that if it takes a week, it's going to come back in a week. And if it takes you a year or 2 years, really, what is that out of your lifespan to make a change? And you are definitely a person who has made this change. So what brought you to making the halfsizeme.com and all of that? How have people found you?
So what happened was once I got my weight off, you know, my husband noticed whenever we would go to social gatherings, I pretty much only ever talked about one of two things. One was health, weight, and just general improvement in that regard. And the other was homeschooling. And he said to me one day, he goes, you know, you should do a podcast. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah. You know, he was already podcasting. He does one on movies and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, you should do a podcast. You would be really good. And he goes, you always talk about these things. And he says, and everybody would benefit from hearing this. And I said, honey, you know, he's completely oblivious to the diet culture that exists. Like, he's male. Secondly, he just doesn't immerse himself in it, so he really doesn't know. He knows what he knows, and I know what I know. And I'm looking at him going, are you kidding me? I'm like, do you know how many weight loss blogs are out in the world? Do you know how many people are telling people? And he's like, yeah, but he goes, nobody's going to do it the way you do. And he says, you've got a unique gift in the way that you talk to people when you break things down and you teach and everything. And I said, okay. I said, look, I think it's kind of crazy, I said, because I don't think anyone's going to care or everyone's going to say I've heard all this before, but I'll do it. You know, I'll try it out. I'll give it a try. I was scared to death, didn't want to do it at first. And so, you know, but we started podcasting. And then what we started doing is getting responses, people emailing, people leaving comments, people leaving iTunes reviews, all saying, wow, I really needed this information or I need to hear. And for me, when I had 170 pounds to lose, I literally felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. Like the pressure to lose that amount of weight felt so huge. I just looked at my husband, you know, again, crying, because we had to even go out and get a scale that would weigh me over 300 pounds, because I started over 300. My scale that I had didn't go over 300 pounds. And I remember just crying, saying, how am I going to do this? And he would always say to me, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So you got to take it in small chunks. But because I had so much weight to lose and I felt so overwhelmed by the process, I was constantly looking for other success stories of people who had lost a tremendous amount of weight and looked normal and didn't necessarily, you know, that were happy with what they had done, that were keeping it off. And I'll be honest with you, females that have that amount of weight to lose, and you know, back in 2006, 2007, I didn't find a lot. I didn't find a lot of blogs or people to follow during that time. And so I would just, you know, that was something that helped me. And so I said, you know what? If I do something with this show, you know, paying it forward the way that I would have wanted somebody to help me, it would be to interview people of all different, have losing all different amounts of weight in all different ways, because there's two things that are important. One, we need to know that this is possible. If it's possible for one, it's possible for all. And two, I want to get past the dogmatic approach that says, my way is the only way, and you're crazy for doing it any other way. Because what I have learned, the more people you talk to that have all accomplished the same thing, but all traveled a different road, tells me something. It tells me that a lot of the marketing that goes on out there is just that, it's marketing. It's not truth.
Right.
And people get so caught up in, how do you do this? They miss the big picture. And they don't see that it's really about your mindset. It's your mindset that's the issue. It's less about, do you track calories? Do you track points? Do you track macros? Are you on a low-carb diet or a high-fat diet or a high-protein diet? All of those things are the nuance. That's the particular way that works for you. But what affects all of us is the mindset. It's the staying motivated day in and day out. So I wanted to make a show that removed excuses, gave people hope and possibility, to where when they get overwhelmed with all of the do this, don't do that stuff, they can go, wait a minute, let me use some logic and reasoning here. If all of these people lost all of this weight using various different methods, and you're telling me this is the only way I can do it, be successful, I know that's a lie. And I know I don't have to buy into that. And there are tons of ways I can do this. And it's just about me finding the right way for me. So that was kind of like what motivated me to do the show. From there, it just blossomed. It became more and more people following, more and more people listening, more and more people telling me what they needed and wanted. And then that's kind of how we grew our platform to offering up things like books and now the community and courses. Because what I've learned is if people need to hear this continuously to almost retrain their brain to think differently about this to where it is sustainable for them.
Exactly. And I think that's the number one thing that I've taken from it, because I see that other members are doing, everybody does something different to lose weight. Yet everyone that's on there has a different mindset. I see some of them post, oh, but because Heather said I shouldn't, I shouldn't think this way, you know. And I like that, because it's a strong and powerful influence. And I do believe that we have to have that to have a change. We have been so conditioned, like you said, by the, 17-day diet fix and the 21-day and all of these things, that this is the only way to do it. But after doing all that for years and it doesn't work, we've got to change something, and it's got to be our mind first. So that was one of the great things that I found about what you're doing. And oh my gosh, I think that you have probably grown a lot faster than you expected, didn't you? The half-size me.
Yes, we did. Yeah, my husband tracks all of that information, but he constantly is coming back to me going, can you believe how many more people are listening? You know, and so, and for me, I look more at the individuals, like as far as I love making the connections with the individual people. Mm-hmm. But what I realize is that I always say this, if you're putting out good stuff in the world, people will find you.
Yeah.
If your goal is to help and to teach and to offer what you would have wanted or needed, people will find you. You don't have to buy tons of advertisements. You don't have to, you know, go in and try and pull other people's members away from them. You don't have to do those things if what you're doing is legit and you're doing it from a right place.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I've just kept my eye on that prize. Like, if I do everything from the standpoint of what would have benefited me, and I work my tail off to try and help as many people as I can, all things and all good will come from that, because it is good. And that's kind of how I view everything I do in my life. I say what blesses one blesses all. Mm-hmm. So if what I'm doing is offering up help to others, I can only be blessed by that. And that's, you know, how I see that is how I see that. But I think that we tend to say, what can I do to get people to listen to me or to like me or to follow me or to get so many followers? But if really your focus is on that, you're not putting out the good content which would bring those people. It's also the same philosophy I have about weight. If you're doing all the habits, the weight will fix itself. Mm. If we just obsess about the scale, but we don't do the habits, well, then how is the scale going to move, right?
Our
attention needs to be on the daily actions and the things that we want to represent in the world, less about outcome. The outcome will adjust itself accordingly.
Exactly. Very, very good point. Well, we're going to continue to talk some more with Heather Robertson from HalfSizeMe.com in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Connect with us on social media at Facebook.com, The Julie Tussey Show, home of the original Suburban Bombshell.
Health and beauty are synonymous, and when you find a place that can help you accomplish those two things in your life, you have really found a treasure. The skincare experts at Beautiful You Medical Spa are waiting to help enhance your natural beauty. You have got to go and enjoy their relaxing, full-service medical spa and friendly staff. Book your first facial today for only $45 when you tell them that Julie sent you. Beautiful You Medical Spa, because everyone deserves to look and feel more beautiful.
And we're back. We hope you enjoyed that. We got some awesome things going on in the Julie Tussey Show. And today we are with Heather Robertson of HalfSizeMe.com, one of my favorite people in the world. She doesn't even know it. Heather, we've been talking about some great, great subjects. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, though. I had written down, but it's probably not anything you can elaborate on, because you're teaching us that it's not about these things. But was there any secrets or tricks that you had to stick to your plan when you were losing your 170 pounds?
So if I'm going to give you some practical nut and bolt kind of things to take away, the first one is that I accepted the fact that I loved treats and that they had to be a part of my day.
Okay.
So in the past, I had always had the mindset of, you know, Heather, you're not going to have this. It was kind of a punishing, shaming thought, which is, you're heavy, you don't deserve these things. When you get the weight off, you can have them again. It was very, you know, cold and unrealistic, to be honest with you. And it wasn't until that real pendulum shift happened where I said, you know what, no, let's take a look at what's really happening here, that self-honesty piece. Well, every day you start out with good intentions, Heather, and you eat according to your plan, but then every night you're binging your brains out because you aren't getting any kind of a treat. So I started to proactively put treats into my day every single day. So when I would lay out my food plan, there was a treat every single night, whether it be a simple ice cream cone, or just anything that would have helped me make it through the day. So I got honest about it, and I started prioritizing treats. I also finally bit the bullet and started to become a diligent tracker, because what I realized was when I was doing, and I'm using air quotes here, good, I actually tracked everything. When I was doing, air quotes, bad, I stopped tracking. Mm-hmm. And I was... in that moment, I said, you know what, if you stop viewing your food choices, and going back to the judgmental piece, which judgment is a big issue around weight loss. We like to judge everything we do. We ate good, we didn't eat good.
Right.
This is a good food, this is a bad food. I don't do that because I know that that's sabotaging. So what I said to myself was, Heather, all food is food, and you chose to eat it. So now you just have to document it. And it was almost like my get out of jail free card. When I gave myself permission to eat whatever I wanted, as long as I tracked it, mm-hmm. I was good. And I really made peace with that. Whereas in the past, I had such a judgment on everything, and I was so cruel to myself about it, that I just felt like it was better not to track at all when those bad moments happened. So But the problem was there was no consistency, and I wasn't really learning anything about myself. When we stop journaling, it's less about the accuracy of the food that you're eating, and it's more about paying attention to your habits. So if you notice every time you have a Snickers at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that day is the day you stop tracking because you end up binging all night, and Snickers at 2 o'clock seems to be a consistent trigger for you. You want to know that. But you're not going to know that if you stop tracking every time it happens, right?
Right.
So it's kind of like we want to turn a blind eye. So I got really, really honest with my tracking. I let go of the judgment around my food choices and just accepted all food as food. I call it fun food and food that helps me work towards my goals, right? But I don't view it as being a bad or good thing, okay?
Yeah.
It just is. So it's honest tracking. And then the other thing that I really started to work on was retraining my mind. So often we allow our mind to just kind of run amok. We let it just do whatever. We don't really control it. So we feel something and then we take action on it. Whereas what I had to do with my mindset was actually start to say, okay, I feel something. What does that really mean? And question it. Mm. We do this all day long. I mean, there's every single moment of every single day, whether it's weight loss related or not, we feel something and then we allow that to impact our decision.
Right.
Whereas what I had to start doing was actually talking back to myself and actually opening up a line of communication where I said, okay, you feel that, but do you have to act on it in this way, or is that legitimately real? Like, can we dissect that and find out where there might be a pitfall or where there might be something that you're missing here? And I was forcing myself to control my mind, because here's the thing. You can have the best calorie point target in the world, and you can have the best workout and the best personal trainer, but if you don't harness the power of your mind and mm-hmm. you don't start to actually question the things that you think and you don't start to look at things from a different perspective, you will always repeat the same cycles. And what the cycles that you repeat have gotten you to where you are now. Those consistent cycles you're in, something happens at work, you feel bad, you go home through the drive-thru, you pick up the fast food, you polish it off with a half a gallon of ice cream. If that is your pattern of behavior, you have to become aware of it. But where it all started was back at work when you started to feel bad. Mm. If you don't stop and question those things and pay attention to your mind, then you will always find yourself being the victim of that cycle and habit, the habitual cycles that you are in. So I had to be aware of that. And so that meant me really starting to pay attention. And what I would do every morning is I would set what would be three kind of focal points. Like, what are the three things you can do today, Heather, to get you to your goal? Mm-hmm. And maybe it was go for a 30-minute walk. Maybe it was track all my food. But I had to only set goals, and this is important. I really want everyone to hear me on this, especially because we're talking about New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that me at 290 pounds was going to go out and run 3 miles, okay?
Right.
I never set those kind of crazy, unrealistic goals. For me, getting out and walking 15 minutes, I would set the bar very low. I'd say, okay, Heather, your goal is to get out and walk 15 minutes. Now, could I exceed that? Absolutely. But I had to set a low enough bar that I knew I could meet, because most of my life I set myself up for failure because I set the bar far higher than I could ever reach in that moment, not for the entirety of my life, but in that moment. So I had to bring the bar down and say, okay, maybe today my best is I can guarantee I will track breakfast. When I did it, I would initial off and date it. I began to build self-trust by doing that. Because for so long, going to New Year's resolutions, I would say, this year I'm losing 100 pounds. And guess what? The next December rolled around and I hadn't lost a stinking ounce. So probably I gained weight. So I didn't have a whole lot of self-belief in my abilities to do this, or self-efficacy. So I had to build that by setting very low daily expectations, actually meeting them. And then once I started getting really good at that, I could bump it up even more. I could say, okay, well, maybe now we're going to go for a 30-minute walk. Maybe now we're going to track the whole day and building.
Wow, that is awesome. Some very, very good information and a lot to think about. And I think that these are the things that could make the New Year's resolution solution successful, because wouldn't it be awesome 1 year from now to actually be at goal or close to your goal and not set a resolution? because concerning your weight. I mean, that's just amazing. And the truth is, Heather, it is so true that it's all really starts in your mind, because you can have so many things, so many ducks in a row, and so many things in order. But if you're constantly being quote unquote, like you said, good or bad, or judging yourself or self-sabotaging, it's just terrible. You will not get where you are, and it's all really in our minds. So I think as women, I know there's lots of men losing weight too and listening, so you can be included in this, but I think especially women are very, very hard on themselves in this
absolutely.
Way. Yes, mm-hmm. And I can look back over my life and see that I have set my expectations way too high. And you know, you probably did this too, even when you're 20, you think you look like you weigh 500 pounds and you're a size 5. And we have this perception from diet books and this perception from magazine covers and this airbrushing that goes on the models and all of these things of what we're supposed to be. And just to learn to accept ourselves where we are and love ourselves. And I think that is one of the hardest things to do. But I think that a community like HalfSizeMe.com is a wonderful place to go to feel that women are changing that for themselves, and then they will reach out and love on you and encourage you in doing that. And I think that's why there's so much success with your community and with what you're doing. And I'm so glad to be a part of it, and I'm so glad to have found you on the internet, because you are changing my life. And I think even if it's only 10 pounds or 20 pounds and you don't lose 150 pounds, it doesn't matter. What matters is the changes that happen inside of you.
And absolutely.
Yes, and it will help you have a better life. I mean, if I can learn to accept myself where I am, I'm going to be more compassionate to accept other people. But when we as women feel like we are constantly struggling and falling short in areas, and especially in this area, the body image situations and all of these things and these negative emotions that come, it makes us not be who we are created to be and who we can be. And so I'm really big into this thought process that I'm now learning from you, and I do believe it's setting me free, because you know I know, and it's awesome. I'm not the size that I want to be, and I can see now after all these years that I have habits of how I degrade myself because I don't look like that magazine cover, but yet I stand up on a stage and sing in front of people, and I have my own talk show now, and this shame that you feel, I can mm-hmm. relate with all that. But if I can just get free to accept myself where I am, I think that I will change. So it's kind of deep.
Oh, absolutely. Well, kinda and I just want to follow up with what you said there, because I think this is really important. I want every woman to think about something. Every year that you've attempted to lose this weight, all right, so just think about it. Like, let's just say you're 40. Let's say the average listener is 40. And let's say for the last 10 years, this has been on her mind, and every year she's thought about it. The eye-opening moment for me was when I realized, having my first son at 30, that if I had lost just 1 pound, one singular pound per month for the entirety of my 20s, I would have been down 120 pounds.
Wow.
I would have been, just think about that, right?
Yeah.
But I was so upset in my 20s, I got out my calendar. I said, okay, I'm going to lose 5 pounds every week. That means I'm going to have my 100 pounds off by this date. Like that was my mindset. And I know mm-hmm. a lot of people can really, you know, resonate with that. But it wasn't until I let go of that and I said, I could have been 10 years, had 120 pounds off. And in that time, I somehow managed to gain 40 more. So imagine for a second that you approach this year totally different. And you say, I am actually going to look and see what habits I have that I'm willing to change without resentment. The resentment piece is important. If you love Coke, if you're drinking soda right now, and you're like, I am not going to completely give it up, or I would do it for a temporary time just to get the weight off, but then I would bring it back in, then if that habit doesn't stay modified, the weight won't stay where you want it to be. So it would be better for you to say, would I be willing to like a one of my Cokes this week?
Mm.
Maybe add in an extra glass of water. maybe go for a 15-minute walk. Look at the habits you're willing to modify. And if you just walk 1 or 2 pounds a month and you are down 24 to 50 pounds by the end of the year and you repeat that, within 2 to 3 years, most of the listeners would have all the weight off that they wanted to have off. They wouldn't have done anything drastic or crazy. They wouldn't be sitting there 3 years from now saying, I really am going to do this 100 pounds this year. They'd be done. But we have to change our mindset, and we have to stop buying in. These people who sell diet books, programs, supplements, they know what to feed on. They feed on our weakness. They feed on our need. I always say we have crock-pot bodies and they live in a microwave world, right? We don't, our body is not equipped. I mean, let me rephrase, it will drop that kind of weight in 17 to 21 days. It is possible. I'm not going to say it's not.
Right.
But what I'm also going to say is it will come back that quickly or
more.
So what you want to do is you want to revamp your thought and say, you know, and one of the things I'm going to give this key to, when I finally approached it with a different mindset, I stopped buying all of the magazines and the diet books. I had a whole collection of diet books. I would lay in my tub, I would read them, and then I would be like, Monday I'm doing the diet, right? Like, this was my mindset. I stopped buying them. I stopped spending my hard-earned money on those things, and I said, you know what? I'm putting blinders on, and I'm focusing on my habits, and I'm focusing on my actions. That's what I became laser-focused about. Because what I realized was all of those things, those programs and quick fixes, they're a distraction and a shiny new object to get my attention away from what I actually have a control over, which is my daily habitual practices. So I'm going to encourage people who are listening to this, look at how much time you've spent on this and how many New Year's resolutions you've done about this. And say, if I were to actually do this differently this year, how would that look?
Exactly. Oh, that's so good. I'm getting so encouraged. And I was thinking, you know, all of those diet books, I have my own collection also. And I was actually thinking about dropping them at the library or something. But I just don't know if I want to do that because they're almost like heroin to my diet plan and my lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know? Should I share the joy of this? No, I don't think so. So, but they are kind of like that, you know, they're like
boxing. Yeah, my husband has gone totally minimal. So what he has on me do is if there's something I don't use or I think I could get rid of, we put it in a box, we tape it shut, we put the date on it, and then if it sits out in the garage, I think it's like 3 months. If it sits out in the garage 3 months and I don't go out and pull it, then we know we can donate it. And the other thing that he helped me with to get past that mentality was he would say to me, can you get it in $20 or 20 minutes? So meaning that most diet books, you could probably replace it in 20 minutes or less by going on Amazon and spending $20 or less on Amazon.
Yeah.
Right? Like you could easily replace it. So if you find you are truly in a bind for the 17-day diet or the whatever diet, you could easily jump on Amazon and buy it, probably even get the Kindle version for a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But what it did was it brought my awareness to it. So I realized that the proof is in the pudding. So if those books worked, would we even be having this conversation?
Yeah. Would they all be under my bed?
Exactly. So but here's the difference. I actually did do this. Right, I got to my goal, and guess what? I don't have any more diet books on my shelf I purged them when I was losing the weight, and I stopped buying them, and then I just refused to buy any more. Now, I do buy workout books. I love workout books, mm-hmm. and I use them as resources for myself and my clients.
Right,
but I don't buy diet books anymore because I know that that can take you down that slippery rabbit hole, you know, of thinking. Because we're all, even if we've been doing it a long time, you could get caught back up in that. It's the shiny new object syndrome. I mean, we can all have become vulnerable with that.
Exactly, because it's all of that psychological stuff. You get there and you're like, oh my gosh, I need something to fix me right now. And it's like a drug.
Yeah.
I have to say that I have been diet book drug free for a year and I'm liking it.
I'm enjoying it.
I know. And I still haven't lost as much weight as I want to lose, but I'm feeling better. I'm feeling a lot better. We're talking with Heather Robertson today on the Julie Tussey Show, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with you.
Find us on social media at facebook.com/The Julie Tussey Show and connect with the best and the most outrageous 30 minutes of your life.
The skincare experts at Beautiful You Medical Spa are waiting to help enhance your natural beauty. Enjoy their relaxing, full-service medical spa and friendly staff. Book your first facial today for only $45 when you tell them Julie sent you. Beautiful You Med Spa, because everyone deserves to look and feel more beautiful. An official sponsor of the Julie Tussey Show.
Please take time to go find the Julie Tussey Show on youtube.com/Gary and Julie Tussey. Again, that's youtube.com/Gary and Julie Tussey. And please subscribe today.
Welcome back. Well, oh my gosh, it has just been an awesome segment with you, Heather. I am so thankful that you decided to take time to come on the Julie Tussey Show. We are all about helping people have a better life, and it goes from crazy fun extremes to very serious subjects. So this is so near and dear to my heart. I love what you're doing, and I'm so glad that you took time to share with the listeners maybe some things that will help them to have a New Year's resolution solution so that we're not constantly setting ourselves up for failure every year at the first of the year, but that maybe next year we can go in and celebrate the victories of self-acceptance, having a new mindset, being free of the heroin of diet books, all of those things, you know. So thank you so much for that. I did want to ask you one really quick question, though. Do you have anything new for the HalfSizeMe.com community or your whole business for 2017?
I do. I'm currently in the process. I'm going to be releasing two new courses in 2017. The first one's going to be on binge eating and grazing. I've now been coaching for quite a while, and I have found at least 5 very practical actions that help most of my clients with binge eating. So I'm going to be releasing that in January. I'm also working on another course around boundaries, because ultimately what I have learned is that if we don't have good boundaries with ourselves and with others, it's very difficult to lose weight, because we have to be able to manage ourselves and know what's good for us, what's not good for us. And so I'm going to be releasing, I think, probably about halfway through the year about that as well. And then I'm planning on doing some contests in 2017 within the community, some fun scavenger hunt type contests, which I haven't really shared too much. This is the first I mentioned it here. I'm going to be doing it with some prizes, and we're going to be working on, it's actually kind of cool. It goes in with the whole idea of what blesses one, blesses all. I'm going to call them the helping hand competitions or contests, where community members are going to be helping me wrangle some resources to make easily available in the community. And then we're going to have like first, second, third tier prizes. So that's coming in the near future. But as far as the community goes, that's where I'm putting a lot of my time and focus. And so those will be the areas that I'll be expanding upon this next year. And then at some point in the future, I'm thinking about looking into doing some speaking engagements. But that
wonderful.
Will be probably in 2017. Yeah.
So I was thinking about that for you.
Yeah, I told my husband I'd absolutely love to do that. So those are all some things coming in the new year for me. And I just want to encourage your listeners, you know, whether they join my community or not, I mean, I want to encourage them to listen to the podcast if they're curious about weight loss. But also, I offer up a free book, and I find that this book can be a very good, simple starting place if you're really, truly wanting to change things this year. I mean, I had to make the same mistake for well more than a decade, so I get if people still want to do it the way that they've done it in the past. But if you're at that point where what I said somewhat resonates with you, you're kind of like, I'm tired of doing the same resolution every single year, then there is a book called Breaking the Diet Cycle. It's a free book. It's got the audio version. And literally what I do is I talk to you about how to stop that cycle which I know you're jokingly, you know, you jokingly refer to it as your hair, like kind of heroin addiction to the books. But believe it or not, there is a rush, like an endorphin rush that we do get from starting a new program. That is actually a really legit thing. And so we kind of get excited about it. Like, oh, I'm starting something new. And, and you know, I got to go get all this stuff. And is this is going to be the moment this all happens. And what I try and explain in this book is that that is the issue, right? Like, as long as that is the approach we take, we will really never get to our goal. It's got to be a slightly different approach in order to make it maintainable and sustainable. So this book is, again, free. You just put your email in and you get a downloadable copy of it. I would say that's a great place for a lot of people to start, to where this year when you do make those resolutions, it might look a lot different than it has in the past.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm trying to listen to that book. I'll have to go back through, and I listen to you all the time when I exercise and when I'm putting on my makeup, which is a long time. And I'm learning a lot of great things, but you heard it first at the Julie Tussey Show. Some great and wonderful things coming out for Heather Robertson and HalfSizeMe.com. Now, Heather, is HalfSizeMe.com the best way for our listeners to reach you?
Absolutely, yeah. If you want to email me directly, there is a contact tab form on there. You can do that. If you're interested in one-on-one coaching, there's a work with me tab. You can fill out my survey. If you're interested in the community, there is information there for that as well. There's a free podcast. We've done now well over 250 episodes. That's over 250 hours of listening to me talk about this stuff. So
I love it. It's on my iPhone too. I just push the little icon and there I'm right there. I love it.
iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find me there. And like I said, the free book that I mentioned, The Breaking the Diet Cycle, if you just go to the website, halfsizeme.com, there'll be a pop-up on the top with a picture of a scale and a woman. If you click on that, that's how you access the free book. So that's all right there at halfsizeme.com.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us, Heather. We really, really appreciate you. I appreciate your heart and all your hard work and the changes that you have done in your life, and now it's causing change in other people's lives. It's just wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Heather. I want to thank the listeners today. We appreciate you listening in. If you know someone that this would benefit, please share it and make sure that you subscribe to the Julie Tussey Show on Facebook and on YouTube. I also want to thank our sponsors so much for all that you do for us and for combining your energies and ours to help the lives of other people. Happy New Year, everybody. And remember, you only get one life. Live it to the fullest.
The skincare experts at Beautiful You Medical Spa are waiting to help enhance your natural beauty. Enjoy their relaxing, full-service medical spa and friendly staff. Book your first facial today for only $45 when you tell them Julie sent you. Beautiful You Med Spa, because everyone deserves to look and feel more beautiful. An official sponsor of the Julie Tussey Show.
You can find the Big Blonde Baby CD at cdbaby.com/CD/Julie Tussey 2. If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.